So kind of getting back to your question earlier, the P in public health for me isn't just prevention and protection and promoting and people, it's plagiarizing. I love getting from things from other folks. I've used slides from Dr. Jones since about 2006 or seven, and we use them in all of our new employee orientation for our health department employees and in community meetings. These slides, most of these are coming from Dr. Denise Dowd, emergency room physician at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, one of the co-authors of the policy statement for firearm-related injuries affecting the pediatric population, and it is in the American Academy of Pediatrics. And so if you're wanting the real stuff, go directly to the article, but I'll hit you with a few quick slides. So what we know is that parents are receptive to discussions around the risk of guns in pediatric visits. We know that anticipatory guidance on safe storage of firearms can result in more guns being safely stored. So if, as pediatricians or family physicians, if you're interacting with parents on these issues, you can make a difference. But child-focused education is still really under investigation. Many of the gun safety programs have no evaluation, in fact, the vast majority don't. A few of them that have evaluated don't really seem to show much impact on safe storage and so forth. And Dr. Jones already talked about and put it into the cliff analogy, a number of the recommendations out of the pediatric policy statement. So I'm going to kind of skip through a couple of these, but kind of show you a similar way of looking at it. When we are trying to prevent pool drownings in public health, the first line of defense is pool fencing. The next line is supervision. And the last and least effective is teaching the child. In gun deaths, it's gun locks or no gun, it's supervision, and then it's teaching the child. And so if you think about this perfect storm of supervision lapse, unsecure gun, and a curious child or a depressed and impulsive teen, then you've got the perfect storm when you put those three together. So what can you do? You can ask families and advise them to not be in that situation. It's interesting that folks that have guns in their homes are four times as likely to actually be killed with guns than folks that don't. Unfortunately, providers don't ask about this very often, even psychiatrists. But you'll see here that only in the case where it's evidence that they're suicidal today and they've already talked about that they have plans with guns, is there asking about the guns? The Ohio Male Survey with adult psychiatrists, you'll see that less than a third even believe that anticipatory guidance could make any difference. And only one out of five is giving anticipatory guidance to suicidal patients. Now, if you're a firearm owner, the majority still, although it's not a huge majority, do think that it is appropriate sometimes or usually or always to have doctors talk about firearms. But I can remember with smoking, one time I was dealing with a depressed patient in the hospital and decided that we needed to deal with that issue and we weren't going to try to quit smoking at that point in time, and said that we'd talk later. And she said, well, that's just not what I'm interested in. And then a little later, there was a chest x-ray on the patient and there was a spot on the lung. And luckily it was early enough in the stage that we were actually able to surgically remove it and capture that. And then on discharge, she brought in this sign that she had on the wall in her family room at home that said, "Bitching about smoking is hazardous to your health." And so I'm just saying that even when somebody has very strong beliefs about something, you can overcome that with the trust relationship over time. You know, it's a fishing process. If you start sensing too much resistance, you back off a little bit, but you come back the next time. And there's a lot that parents can do. We've got experts probably here in Florida that can talk more about the Florida bill, but I did put in a few slides on the Florida bill if we had questions on that and the legal challenges and the status. I do find it kind of revolting that we have kids' backpacks that are with Kevlar in it now, and pink guns. I think the real important thing here is if you're focusing on the child when you're interacting with the parents, you'll be much more successful than if you're focusing on the gun. But every parent knows it just takes a minute. If exposure to flour caused deaths at the rate that firearms do, can you imagine the kinds of devices that would have to be provided to lock up the flour? And so the fact that we have manufacturers of guns allowed to sell guns without gun locks and not be brought to lawsuit for a defective product or for a child hazard is kind of amazing. So we've got a ways to go, but I think we just have to keep after it. As Winston Churchill, I believe, said, Americans will always do the right thing after they've exhausted everything else. So with that, there's a bunch of resources, and I'll kind of pause for questions.